Solutions Podcast. By now, you guys know who I am, but if you don't, I'm Alex Russell. This is the final episode of Season 2, so just like Season 1, we are going to do a topic episode. This one, I feel, is going to be a great one for everybody in this industry. We're going to do health and wellness, and I've got a couple of great guys that I think that have gone through some difficult times in their detailing career and have kind of managed to deal with it, kind of overcome it. So I'm hoping that their knowledge, their advice will maybe reach somebody maybe who's going through the same thing or doesn't know they're going through the same thing and needs to look for the signs. So without anything else, let's jump into it. Thank you. 3. Welcome to the Detail Solutions Podcast. This week, for the finale of Season 2, I wanted to do something on health and wellness. I figured it's a very big issue that we have in our industry. And so I've got 3 guys on who I feel are very prominent in the industry, but have had some issues, and we could talk about their stories and how maybe it can help you guys. So if you guys introduce yourselves.
So I'll jump in at once.
Yeah,
hey guys,
yeah,
exactly. Levi from the Rag Company, Levi Gates. I've been a detailer for almost 25 years. And I guess you could say my ailment is I have a lot of early onset osteoarthritis that is extremely painful. And I've been doing a lot of stuff this year to try and minimize that. But it's just overuse. It's doing the same motions my whole life since I was a teenager. So who else?
I'm Walt Sanders, Big Sexy from the Detail Spa. I've been detailing for 15 years. My ailment is I had acute kidney damage and erosive esophagus. So the kidneys are doing much better. The esophagus is still pretty tore up. It's going to take some time to heal that from energy drinks just tearing me up over the years.
Right. And then Brian, how about you?
My illness is came about in 2016, where I found out that skin cancer was a part of my agenda, and basically had a lot of dissection since then.
Sorry. And that's Brian Guy, since he didn't want to introduce himself. It's Brian Guy with Swiss Facts.
I'm sorry. Yes, I'm Brian Guy.
We love you, Brian. It's fine.
My first question is, you know, how did you guys find out about all this? You know, as far as like what took place, what did you guys, you know, what ended up happening to you to come across this and something that maybe people, other detailers need to start paying attention to or looking out for maybe to try and catch it early themselves?
So for me, I was completely overbooked and was just trying to do too much. And I was ignoring all the symptoms I had as far as I was getting a lot of like pain in my back, pain in my side, extreme fatigue. I was buffing a car and I would get real tired sitting in the stool, just buffing the car. I'd get real tired and ultimately ended up going to the emergency room because I was having a hard time breathing, sweating profusely. And when I say sweating profusely, I mean, it looked like somebody dumped a 5-gallon bucket of water on me. That's how soaking wet I was. I was leaving puddles on the floor. So I ended up in the emergency room. They kept me for 2 days and found some other issues while I was in there. And ultimately, just about everything was directly related to energy drinks.
Right. And you just, I mean, I know we talked about this before, but just for maybe people that haven't caught your episode before, tell us how many energy drinks were you going through a day?
So at the bare minimum, it was 4. It could be all the way up to 8. I think I averaged around 4 to 6 a day. I would start my day off with a with a Monster, a 5-hour energy, and an Adderall, and I'll repeat that at noon.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. All just because you wanted to keep up with work.
Yeah, exactly. Just, yep. I mean, you're a detailer times money, so you want to work as fast as you can. And I just kept pushing it. And even though I was drinking a lot of water, staying hydrated, all the vitamins and supplements that are in the energy drinks completely threw off my electrolytes. So I basically diluted everything that was in my body because I was trying to keep up with water, that it just completely wiped me out. I would cramp up out of nowhere. So luckily the kidney damage was reversible. They caught it in time, but they definitely did not let me leave that night.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Walt, what happened to you is something that I think a majority of the detailing industry deals with, because there's a lot of guys who are, you know, just pounding energy drinks or 5-hour energies or whatever, just because, you know, either they've got a huge workload or they're a, you know, single guy shop and they're just trying to kill it.
Yeah, I know that we've all been there. I used to brag about it myself. I don't think it's anything to brag about anymore.
Yeah.
The night before I went to the hospital, I had a post on, I can't remember what group it was, but I had a post holding a 5-hour energy saying, it's 9 o'clock, who cares, let's get this shit done. And then literally the next day, not even 24 hours later, I'm in the emergency room. Jeez. So it can hit you out of nowhere. But I do have to say, I was drinking energy drinks like that for about 12 years. So it's not like I just did it one day. It was an accumulation that added up.
Yeah. Crazy. Brian, how did yours come about? What were your symptoms?
My symptoms, I kind of started feeling them around 2014, 2015. And I was, even on, like, if you go back and look at some of the posts that I did on Detailed Image, for example, you know, I actually did a post in relation before I even knew about it. But it was just something that was sitting in my gut, and I was like, curious what was wrong. Something was not right though. And basically how it ended up really coming about is I had a really good customer. I was at his house and and he basically told me, he said, Brian, if you don't have an answer for that thing on your neck by the next time I see you, he said, you don't come back here. You know, and because I love this guy to death and he loves me, that, you know, I went and got myself checked out. So that was 2015. I basically had 4 Mohs procedures all in the same area, which a Mohs procedure is basically, if you get like a skin cancer or some type of a squamous cell, which is basically what I had, or a basal cell, they would basically cut it off. And under most circumstances, you know, most people are fine. You know, they just kind of cut it off and that's it. Right. By the time I got to the 5th Mohs procedure in the same area, I was really frustrated. I was a radiologist who I was paying a fortune to, and, you know, and he basically told me, he said, man, we have to get you into cancer treatment facility ASAP. He's like, you know, he's like, you've gone beyond the dermatology point. So in 2016, that was like, it was the start of 2016. That was when I learned that I needed to go to cancer treatment center. So in relation to the auto detailing business, and since we don't like, you know, like the big points that I would like to get across is that, you know, my business was going smoothly. You know, I was just doing my normal thing, cleaning a car. And one day it stopped, you know, and I think that's the thing that, you know, that you can never be prepared for. Like, I wasn't prepared for somebody to tell me that I had to stop doing what I was doing.
Right.
You know, when I went into cancer treatment, like, you know, you can have this massive surgery and then go into cancer treatment for an entire year. And then, you know, and then detail cars while you're in there, you know, while you're doing that. It just, you know, because going to cancer treatment itself is a full-time job. I was there Monday through Friday for probably about 8-9 months straight. You know, so there was no time to consider like, hey, let me keep running my business. Basically, like I said, you know, everything came to a very abrupt stop. And when it first started, I was thinking in my head, I said, you know what, no problem. You know what I mean? As soon as this is all over with, I'm going to jump right back on. You know what I mean? Like the attitude that I had, you know, prior to going into it was completely different than the attitude that I had coming out of it. Basically, it put me on my ass more than I thought it would. You know, yeah. I did not think you know, it was going to play that big of a role, but it did. You know, it really put me down. So, you know, so coming back into it was far more difficult and is still to date far more difficult. You know, I'm constantly up to physical challenges, you know, anytime I'm detailing a car. You know, so like it's something that, like I said, you know, auto detailers are not prepared for. Right. But it's something to take into consideration, you know, and if I could go back, I would have done many things differently. But I mean, unfortunately, mine was caused from, you know, I had close to 12 years prior of like really bad care, self-care, you okay. know. So with all that really bad self-care, you know, like you don't just make up for it in a year. You know, if you have right. 12 years of self bad care, it's going to take you more than a year to fix yourself. You know, you're going to need lots of years to fix yourself. Yeah.
So this wasn't something that was necessarily like just being out in the sun detailing, but at the same time,
contribute to it.
Right. Mobile guys like, can.
Yeah, the sun will do it. It's a combination of a lot of things, you know. I mean, with skin cancer, there's a lot of variables. So, but, you know, everything I've learned over the years for myself being an auto detailer and what I can claim to be my own is that it's a mixture of the sun and the chemicals.
Right.
Between the sun and the chemical exposure, because my first 10 years in the auto detailing business was completely mobile.
Right.
Completely. You know, it wasn't until, you know, sometime early 2000s, you know, like sometime around the time when like Facebook started, shortly after, I was coming out of my mobile detailing, you know, atmosphere and starting to really restrict myself to garages and being yeah. indoors and things like that. So for all the years that, say, social media may have knew me, there I was actually in practice of doing the right things during those years, but it was all the years prior that right. you know did it, you know. So but again, with skin cancer, there's a lot of variables. It could come down to it just didn't mix well with me, you know? Right. So, yeah, but there's a lot of stuff to look into with that. I mean, at the end of the day, the chemicals that we do expose ourselves to are bad. You think the Red Bull that, you know, Walt mentioned, you know what I mean? Like when we're diving into chemicals and Red Bulls and 7-Eleven pizzas, you know, we're just asking for poison, you know.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Like so you know, and I've been in the same situation, you know, with being into the hospital, you know, prior to the cancer treatment, going into the hospital for lung damage because you're polishing, wearing a mask, and you're, you know, inhaling so much, you know, dust, fiberglasses, you know what I mean? Like there's so much to inhale. So the environment that we put ourselves into within a detailing realm is, you know, we have to take it into consideration of actually how bad it really is. We don't, you know, like our biggest downfall as a detailer is that we're more in tune to taking care of the customer than we are ourselves.
Oh yeah.
It's a characteristic trait that I know that so many people across the board here, you know, share the same characteristic trait, you know, and it's so hard to say, here, listen, you know, like doing your car is bad for my health, like right. you know, put me in a good environment and I'll do your car, you know.
Right. Yeah,
so like that's not easy to say, you know. In saying, over my last 4 or 5 years, I've lost several customers because of that, you know, because I'm just not willing, you know, yeah. to go out, you know, and then destroy myself,
Right. You know? And your quality of life is more important now than just, you know, going out there and trying to crush cars and, you know, be a
learner. We have to learn that, though. I didn't think that prior to this happening to me. Dude, I was like the guy who would post the lion, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, be a lion, you know? I'm not about that anymore. I'm actually very scared of the word passion. Passion, in my eyes, is a double-edged sword. You know, because if I become too passionate about something, I also know that that same passion has the passion to kill me as well, you know? So I found a place for myself to where I can walk on a fine line, and it's really hard to balance, you know, it's really hard to balance, because when we find something that we enjoy, like auto detailing, for example, you know what I mean? Like, it's so easy to dive right back into it, you know? Yeah.
Right. And how did you come about yours? I mean, I've listened to your podcast, so I kind of know, you know, a little bit of what you've indulged, but, you know, for everybody else, how did you come about your osteoporosis?
So, yeah, so I, you know, for a while, majority, about 10 years, I was in a high production, high volume shop. And so time is money. You got to get it done. You got to work. And when I left that and opened my own shop in 2011, I opened my own business and I was by myself for those first 6 months. It was just me by myself. I had a few accounts, some dealer work, as well as some of my retail customers, and I brought them over to my shop. And, you know, it was one of those things where you're like, I got my own place. I can do this. Like, now it's upon me to do it. And I woke up one morning and my right arm didn't work. Just, I couldn't lift myself up out of bed with it. And I thought, that's weird. And I told my wife, and she's like, well, just take some ibuprofen, which at the time I didn't realize, but I had been popping probably 1,000 milligrams of ibuprofen every day for the last 4 or 5 years to just stop the pain that I was feeling every morning. And it finally just got to a point that my arm just stopped working. And so went to the doctor. He sent me over to an orthopedist. Went to the orthopedist, and by the time though I got in, it had been like a week, and I was like, you know, my arm's moving again. It's feeling pretty good. I feel all right. And he just touched me and just about dropped me to the floor. And he goes, you're not fixed. And we're going to do a full body scan. We're going to see what you got here. And he basically said, look, I got to do surgery on your shoulder. Do you remember when your hands were tingling? And I said, yeah. And he goes, do you remember when that stopped? And I said, yeah, you know, usually when I polish, it happens. He goes, well, did your wrists start hurting a while back? And I said, yeah, they were starting to hurt, but, you know, I got some braces and they went away. And I take ibuprofen in the morning, it goes away. And he goes, and then your elbows started hurting. I said, yeah, they did, but that pain kind of went away. And he goes, well, what happened was, your hands were taking on that force. Your wrists started taking that on to compensate.
Right.
That was when you were supposed to slow down and stop and see me. He goes, but you didn't. You kept going, and then your wrists took on the weight and the action. Well, your elbows gave out. So your hands gave out, your wrists gave out, your elbows gave out. Now it's into your shoulders. Your shoulders are done. There's not much left. So you need to have surgery. And the funny thing was, at that point, I thought, oh, my boss previously, the guy who owned the shop that was a very high production shop, I quit on him on his shoulder surgery, the exact same shoulder surgery they were telling me I was going to need.
Right.
And I was like, look, man, I'm starting my own shop. Like, I know this is not the right time, but I'll give you a month to recuperate and then I'm going to go. And he's like, nah, you can just bounce. You're out. Thankfully, now we've, almost 10 years later, we've reconciled, and he's still a good friend. But it was funny to go like, oh, I never thought that same stuff that was happening with him was going to happen to me. So I just told them, I said, look, I can't do surgery. You got to do something, because I can't stop working. I'm not there yet. And he goes, that's fine. I'll just fill you full of cortisone over the next few years. This is how we're going to space it out. This is what you need to be doing. Just be careful, slow down. I said, ooh, I still can't do that. And I kept going, brought on more employees, just kept growing the shop, was still working, still doing stuff.
Right.
And problem happened again. And he said, I can't get you in. I can't get you any more cortisone. This time it was the other arm. And he goes, you can't do this. We're now 5 years in. And that's when the rag company thankfully came to the rescue,
right,
put me behind the desk and had me travel. And that's when I sold my business. But it was one of those things where if I didn't do that, I was on the way to need serious surgery that would put me out for about a year, right, with everything I needed to do. And the fact that, you know, my orthopedist was saying, look, I do this shoulder surgery. You cannot go back to that same action that you're doing and using that shoulder in for 6 months because it has to heal. Otherwise I redo the surgery. That scared me. I recently got to a point where same thing happened. I'm 41. I'll be 41 in a couple months. Woke up in the morning, shoulder didn't work. I'm not detailing every single day. I detail maybe once a week, maybe a couple times a month, depending on what customers I get into my garage, my home garage. And I watch myself, I pace myself. It takes me 2 days now to do a 3.5-4 hour detail.
Right.
Because that's how I pace myself out. But the fact that even though that very minimum stuff, if I hold a polisher for more than an hour, my elbows hurt, my shoulders hurt, my hands hurt, I'm still a strong person. I'm still physically strong enough to do stuff,
right,
but I can't go hard in the paint anymore, as they say. I can't do those things without the fact that, like, he says, hey, you need Tommy John surgery on both elbows. Wow. We need to go in and have fix your shoulders. You know, I went in a couple weeks, I got about 2 months ago, and had them break up a calcium deposit that was the size of a gumball in my shoulder.
Ooh, holy cow.
Just to break it up and then inject it with cortisone to keep it moving. Cause they're like, look, we can do surgery, but kind of going to be stuck. And I was like, I'm back in that same place where I don't have 6 months to recuperate. I right. don't have that time to sit and just not do anything. And I don't have the money to do that.
Yeah. You know?
And so it's hard because it's in a spot where it's like, you're going to have to pay for it at some point. The piper is going to come and it's going to tell you can't do it anymore.
Right.
And I'm thankful Brian was stronger than me to be able to take that time and recuperate, because I'm not as strong as him. I can't stop.
It's Walt, sheer luck, man. It's sheer luck.
And you changing your ways, Walt, man. I just secured a Pepsi sponsorship, and I live and breathe Diet Pepsi, man. That's my life. So, I mean, you guys are a lot stronger than me. So,
it's not easy, man. I mean, you know, like Levi, since I got you here, like, you know, like this year, you know, some of you guys know that I've done a lot of work over at the dealership.
Yeah.
You know, I did way more than I was supposed to, you know what yeah. I mean?
But that's because that's in you, you know?
Yes.
I know, so that same animal, man.
I'm going to come to things that I just said, because at this end of the day, I kind of didn't learn a thing. I found myself, I just had 11 staples in my head just 3 months ago. Because of throwing myself into the environment, you know yeah. what I mean? And like, I know that if I would have stayed away, that I can mentally think of the things that I'm supposed to do to take care of myself. You know, as I threw myself into the environment, I go right back to dirty old habits. You
right.
know what I mean? Yeah. And for like myself, it just takes time to learn, like, hey, listen, if this is the type of person that I am, then I know that I have to, you know what I mean? Like, I have no choice, you know what I mean? Like, I have 4 kids, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. I've had a lot of time to reflect, you know. I was really grateful for the 1 year time. That was a massive reflection. But coming out of it, you know what I mean? And like, okay, I mean, since we're on the topic of health and everything, and like, we all just kind of suffered a bad year. Dude, like, for the last 3 years of my life, I've been in a massive depression hole, you know? Oh. and I'm sure that most every auto detailer can relate. So I'm not going to feel bad about saying it. You know what I mean? So like, but yeah, I've been in a massive depression hole because auto detailing has been my life. I've apparently made a career out of it. And, and then there's also something inside of me that says, get the hell away from it. You know what I mean? So like, basically trying to find and rediscover yourself and like how you can go about this without going back to the dirty old ways.
Right.
These are not easy things to accomplish, as you know what I mean? Like we as people, we're very stubborn. You know,
well, I think it goes back to what you were saying about having the passion. And that is one thing that, at least from what I've, you know, almost every detailer I've ever met is we all have that passion. Like we want to do the job right. You know, it's somebody even mentioned to me before, it's almost like we're artists, right? You know, I mean, the car is our canvas and we're not painting some elaborate picture. We're just making the paint clear again. So, you know, when I forget who it was that told me that, it kind of made me think a lot of the people that I know that are in detailing in some way, shape or form were a little bit artistic or have been artistic, you know, like to draw, like to color things and whatnot. So I think it's like you said, Brian, it all goes back to being passionate about it. And even though you know you shouldn't be pushing yourself as hard as you are, you do because you have the passion for it. And it's something that
Agreed. And like Walt said, you know what I mean? Like we drive ourselves, you know what I mean? To stay up late at night. We drive ourselves, you know what I mean? But we do this. Because we're dumping ourselves into the work.
Right.
You know what I mean? And most of these stories, you're going to hear from somebody who is either a solo artist or only has maybe one or two halftime employees or whatever. You know what I mean? But you're not going to hear this from the guy who has the shop with a big grand, you know, like a lot of employees. Like this is a great way of, this is a great business, you know, going about it this way, you know. But if you do go about it in the artistic manner, yeah, dude, we dump our heart and soul into those cars that the customers never know about, you know, like with so much thought and effort, we've done so much homework. We've like prepared ourselves beyond measure. You know what I mean? So we're like giving these cars everything that we got. You know what I mean? Even if we know that we're not even going to give it our all, it's still coming out the luckiest car ever.
Oh yeah.
So, sure. So like, it's like, man, like that word passion, it gets tossed around our industry like hotcakes. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and it is. It's like you have to have it. I think that it's like you have to have it, but I like my thought on it is to just be careful if you have it, you know, like, cause like it's, yeah, like that type of passion. You know, I've learned to think that the saying, you know, if you love something, go, or I'm sorry, if you love something, let it go.
Right.
I'm like, I believe that quote came from somebody who loved an art or a passion of some kind. I don't believe it was a relationship. It's like, that's just the way I want to perceive it. You know, I believe that whoever made this quote was in love with their work, you know, and to be able to love something enough, it's a good thing to do.
Right. Exactly. So, so it's given me a 9-minute countdown. So we'll try to get through this next question as quickly as we can. And then I guess we'll all have to jump back on. What are some changes that you guys had to make in your normal work routine after, you know, finding out what you guys have found out?
So basically for me, I had to start drinking a lot more water, which wasn't fun. Luckily, I got to go through the caffeine withdrawal while I was in the hospital and they were pumping me full of IVs and stuff. So I didn't get the nasty headaches or anything, but I still fall back into it where I drink a lot. Today was one of those days. But mostly I just had to start being a little bit more self-conscious about what I'm putting into me, what I'm putting into my body. And working out and just overall keeping up with my doctors. That was one thing. I never went to the doctor until all this happened, and now it's the best thing. So
Now you have like a, do you try to schedule out, like, I got to make sure I drink, you know, enough water here, or, you know, if I'm going to throw a soda in or something like that, just to have flavor, but I need to counterbalance it with water. Do you try to schedule it out or plan it out, or is it just kind of whatever?
It just kind of flows. I just have to make sure I have water with me at the shop because we have terrible water here.
Gotcha.
So that's when I'll run into issues. If I don't bring water with me, I'll just go buy soda or energy drinks or whatever. Right. But, yeah.
Gotcha. How about you, Levi?
Yeah. Me, it's making sure I space out what I'm doing. So, like this weekend, I worked on an interior, just an interior detail on a wash. And I didn't stretch. And as stupid as that sounds, it was, you know, 9 o'clock last night when I was having shoulder like pains that were piercing and kept me up. And, you know, in my head, I'm like, well, I didn't do this. And I went easy and I went simple, but it is literally just the act of moving, you know, right, doing a chicken dance almost with my arms that I can't do that. You know, my arms are good at giving hugs and I can't even do that with COVID, but it's like, it's weird that any motion, any repetitive motion,
right,
is what's damaging. And so stretching has become a very important thing to do before I detail. And it sounds funny, but I mean, to do it or I'm in pain all night.
So do you have like any kind of routine, or do you just do like circle arm motion or arm?
A lot of it is, just moving my shoulders back and forth. And then I do another one for my elbows, that I stretch those out, because those are the ones that are in the most pain and the most pain that, you know, I can't really fix. My shoulders, they were like, you know, there were many more options other than surgery that I could work on. My elbows were like, look, you got to stretch them because we can do surgery, but those surgeries are only about 50 to 60% successful. Oh, so wow. Your success rate on them is you're going to have that pain again, and it may just come back. So try and keep them strong. Right. And just, I have to really watch. A lot of it is, I need to drink more water and I don't. Well, that's one of those things that I need to make sure of. And I joke with the guys, the water just doesn't taste good.
It doesn't.
So,
that's why I do the Crystal Light, you know, or at the shop, I take the little, like, I'll get
the little Mio squirters. I've got some of those.
Yeah. Cause I mean, I'm bad too. I'll go get a soda to start my day, cause I'm not a coffee drinker. So yeah. I'll get a soda to start my day off and give me that caffeine boost. But then I try to stick to water the rest of the time. And it's kind of interesting you mentioned about stretching, because there's another detailer in Georgia. His name's Yasser with Red Clay Detailing. And about a year ago, he started doing like detailer stretching videos. He was kind of trying to... And I don't know. I haven't seen him post it too much lately, but, you know, he kind of came up with these little, you know, stretches and cardio type things that you could do in the shop or, you know, mobile, just to kind of get you warmed up and loosened for the day. And I always thought that was a pretty good thing that he kind of took that on his own to try and put out there in the detail world, because I'm horrible at it. I mean, I get to the shop and I just start plugging stuff in and going to it, but, you know, maybe I...
Yeah, it's definitely a weird thing when you have to do that, because I know for, you know, Walt and Brian and many others, Alex, same way, it's not in our nature.
No.
And, you know, to take 5 minutes and just, I mean, I'm still fighting pain today, and I had to wash a car today for a video. And it's like, I lifted that pressure washer up and I was like, oh, nope. Grab my elbow.
Oh, wow.
Anyways, because I couldn't lift my arm up the rest of the way. And it's just a pressure washer gun.
Oh, geez.
But it's the fact that, you know, I still had to make a video for it. And you know, you still got to work through the pain on it. But it's making sure you take a few minutes, stretch, you know, and right. just be careful. Because I look at, I worked at a car wash that used to spray hydrofluoric acid. They would foam hydrofluoric acid on cars all day. And we would laugh at the new kids that had to prep the cars and spray them off. And that foam was, you know, you were getting blown, you're getting a nice wind of hydrofluoric foam that you could breathe in, really fill your lungs with hydrofluoric acid. And I'm still waiting for that call when they're telling me it's not going to work anymore.
Right. I've been there. I mean, my 20 plus years at the car wash, you know, and especially when you've got to run through the tunnel to try and like catch something or fix something, and you're just getting showered just with
soaked.
With everything. Exactly. Nice. The soap, the
spray of iron decon.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. How about you, Brian? What are some things that you've kind of changed up in your work routine? We got about 2 minutes before we have to go to part two.
Dude, I wish I had a better answer for you, man. I really do. I really do. It's like I said, it's like I'm a creature of habit, you know, and my habit as an auto tailor, you know, it's just not good. You know, I will always put the car and customer before myself, no matter what, you know what I mean? So it's for myself, that is what it is. My thing is I'll just space it out, you know, like I'll do two cars a month, you know what I mean? Space it out, give myself, you know what I mean, plenty of time in between each vehicle, you know.
That's good. And I know at the dealership, you guys got a pretty nice little fancy shop space there. So you know, you're probably
the environment is good, you know what I mean? But it's not. You know, like, you know, like a good environment is good, but at the end of the day, like, man, if I go to 7-Eleven to go grab my lunch and I grab, you know, three hot dogs, a piece of pizza and Red Bull just to get through the day. You know what I mean? That's right. No favor to myself, you know. It's like, and then I get home and my wife's like, oh, you know, I could have packed you a bag of carrots. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, well, what do I want a bag of carrots? You know, so it's just really hard, man. It's really hard. I'm sure that each individual is going to struggle on their own way with it, right. You know, but it's just, you know, find the balance that works best for you.
Okay, well, so we're about to get kicked off. I've got like two more questions, so if you guys don't mind, when it kicks us off, we'll just jump back in. I think this is going pretty good so far. So, yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
We'll see. I was just going to say. Yeah, I did. I was going to test it. I was going to see if they were going to let me. They were not. The Zoom gods decided against it.
Yeah, it was giving me a countdown all the way to 1 minute. And then it said less than a minute. So that's why I was like, we could be cut off anytime. Yeah.
I was going to say, let's see. Let's try it.
Yeah. So there's Walt.
Let's see if Brian jumps back on. Yeah, there we go. All right. So Brian, what I was going to tell you real quick, though, is one of my guys just went to the doctor this last week and had a ton of stuff cut out of him.
A skin cancer?
Wow. Yeah. And he was the one dude in the last, I've known him for 16 years. He worked with me at the old shop and then came to work for me. And then my guy, Matt, who took over my shop and renamed it, started it again. He works for Matt, and the two of them, all they do now is PPF. They don't even detail anymore. They just do PPF out of their shop. And he just had it. And for him, he was the one guy that he worked just about every day with his shirt on. That was his thing. And he'd go sleep in the sun and hang out. And I mean, that was his life, was sunlight. And he didn't do anything with sunscreen. He joked that, you know, better or worse, sunscreen was for pussies. And he posted it the other day, and I was like, oh my gosh, I need to give him a call. So, yeah. But yeah, had a bunch cut out of him. So,
yeah, not like I found, you know, I found that just picking up SPF clothing, you know, and then, you know, the time that I've spent with my cancer doctors, I've had a lot of questions. So, you know, and their take on sunscreen as well is not that good, you know. Yeah. like sunscreen's not going to help us that much, you know, but if we can cover ourselves up, you know, with SPF clothing, that's kind of what I've done. I mean, I've got, like, you know, if I'm driving in the car, you know what I mean, and like, we know that we always got our left arm, you know, hanging out the window, you know, I'll make sure that my left arm has an SPF cover over it. You know what I mean? Just simply driving down the road. You know, so like, but covering ourselves up with good clothing is actually, you know, from my understanding, better than the sunscreens, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, and technically sunscreens can't be that good because some of them have just been illegal to ship to California as of recent. So
I think everything's illegal to ship to California now.
Yeah. Right.
I was talking with Billy Bogus from American Detail Garage. We did a podcast with him a couple weeks back, and he was telling me he's got to relabel all of his labels now for crazy.
Yeah.
So how has this affected not only your detailing life, but your home life?
Anybody else?
Well, so for me, the biggest thing, like, my wife was the one, when I opened my shop, her big fear was chemicals were going to do me in. And so when I opened my shop, she goes, you're now in charge. You don't have to answer to anybody. It's your own place. You need safe stuff. And you've got two little kids. I can't be a widow. I need you here. So that changing over to safe chemicals, being more on the line with biodegradable stuff. I still do that in my home garage because my kids come out and they want to play and they want to work on stuff and they want to do stuff. I have a respirator when I'm compounding, when I'm polishing our dust mask. So because now I'm at home. And so if I let any of that stuff out or I'm spraying, you know, I don't want to acid wash a car and have my kid riding his bike around.
Right.
I'm not going to have that. I'm not going to do that.
Right.
And so there are certain things for certain customers that I have to do. Like Brian said, I just have to say, no, I can't. I'm not set up for that here in my house. And I'm not set up to do those types of things. And I look at that and go, man, if I got to remove those water spots, I've got to do this and I got to do that. And that's just not in it. Now I'll run to the car wash and I'll do it, you know, in one of their bays. If it's a, you know, good friend of mine that I can say, look, man, I'll do you a solid and help you out here. But even then, I've got a respirator on, I've got gloves, right. I've got a lot of stuff because I just got to be careful. But on top of that, it's making more time for my family. And so working on the weekends, one of the benefits of spacing, say, a 4-hour detail out over 2 days is I can still stop what I'm doing and say, all right, kids, let's go for a walk or let's go ride our bikes or let's go do something. I can still take a moment and do that. For work, though, it's I try to turn myself off when I'm home. I try not to answer questions about work because I eat, sleep, and breathe rag company. And the questions never stop. The customer service stuff doesn't ever stop. And I just try to make sure that when I'm with my kids and I'm home with them and my wife, those few hours, it's set my phone off and don't touch it. And then I pick it back up at 8 or 9 o'clock and after they're in bed and I'll run through some stuff. But I try to just put my phone away because if I'm not thinking about it, I'm not in the groups. I'm not.
Right.
It's trying to quell that passion, Brian, is the easiest way to describe it.
Right.
I try to think, like, when I'm at work, I'm at work. When I'm home, I need to find other things to do. I need to be with my kids. I need to be with my wife. I need to not think about cars and detailing and polishes.
For myself to answer that question, that's the exact thing that's improved in my home life. Prior to 2016, I was the dad who was always on the phone, always working, never made enough time for my little one.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I put my work ahead of them all the time, so many times, you know. I remember my kids standing in front of a glass door, you know what I mean, while I'm doing my thing on the other end of the glass, and like I can still remember their faces, you know. So I've had enough time to repair that, you know what I mean. Like I have four kids. Like, my wife and I, we had two kids early on, and then we had two kids later on. Basically, what I'm getting is a remake or a redo, right? Like, in my eyes, like my oldest two kids, they suffered to a degree of not having daddy around, but they understand. Now my older two kids get to watch me be the daddy that I was supposed to be for them, you know. So it's a difficult thing, you know what I mean, to spread ourselves thin with having enough time, because there's never enough time, you know what I mean. Like, I have a, you know, we all have a bazillion things we got to do. There's just never enough time, you know. So, but like this, like for myself, it's been being able to give my family the time that they deserve, you know.
Right.
And keeping my eyes open enough to appreciate it, you know what I mean. Like, I just made a post on my Instagram stories, for example, and like, you know, like this last year, for example, like I spent more time observing other people in their passionate zones because I admire that, you know. I've mentally taken myself out of my passion zones, you know what I mean, to the point of, like I said, like a heartache almost. And so for me to watch other people inside of their passion zones, to be killing it, to be growing their businesses, to be, you know what I mean, to just be really excited about what's in front of them, those are things that drive me right now. And I'm getting my rocks off by seeing others do it instead of me doing it myself. So like, that's changed at home, you know, because I used to like to be ahead of the curve. I used to like to, you know what I mean, show what I was doing.
Right.
Now I, you know what I mean? Like, I, you know what I mean? I'm more inclined to be like, what are you doing, dude?
Right.
You know,
right.
Where that was a characteristic trait that I probably didn't, like, I may have had it before, but I didn't appreciate it enough. You know, so I enjoy definitely, you know, watching others, you know, be passionate and inspiring and, you know what I mean, things like that. So it's like I said, detailing is just a fine balance, man. It's a fine balance. It's a very tough career.
It is.
You know,
how about you, Walt?
Well, to kind of touch on what Brian said, it was like kind of like a second chance for me. One of the things they found when I was in the hospital is they found some masses and enlarged lymph nodes. And luckily, after a bunch of biopsies, I don't have cancer, so that's a plus. But it definitely got me thinking about, you know, more family time, work-life balance. So I'm trying to not – I try to only work late nights, a couple nights a week. I take Sundays off now. So I'm slowly getting into it, but it's hard because I do have such a passion and such a drive for what I do that it makes it really difficult sometimes for me to separate and take time off, but I'm working on it. So, but that was the biggest thing for me, is it was like a second chance.
Yeah. I think that's the biggest thing for everybody. I mean, thankfully for me, I did all that stuff in my car wash career, working, you know, 60 plus hours a week because of what was required for me there. But thankfully, when I was able to do this, I was able to pull back and be able to stay home more with my wife and my daughter and actually watch her grow a little bit more and be more involved, mm-hmm. especially now that she's been doing cheerleading and things like that. So I was very fortunate enough that I was able to do that when I stepped away from the car wash kind of deal. I mean, she was at that age where she was actually cool to be around, like that 3-4, you know, like 3 and 4, you can start doing stuff with them. I mean, when they're like 1 and 2, like, you know, they just stay around. So that was a good thing for me. And kind of lastly, what recommendations would you guys give detailers to help them preserve their health and preserve their body that you guys have, you know, been through and kind of seen what maybe you should have done? I know, Levi, you mentioned a lot of things in your podcast about, you know, because of your hands, like you look for things that are more, you know, on you and gloves and things like that. Brian, you mentioned the SPF clothing.
Anthony had to do a pop in real quick.
Yeah, no, that's right. That's right. So what are some recommendations that you guys would give other detailers and that maybe they can start working on now before they completely wreck themselves?
Well, the first thing I would just say real quick is go to the doctor. It's very simple. Just go to a general practitioner, get a physical. If you haven't done one already, you need to. That's the basic thing. I was lucky enough that I'd already been going to a doctor because I have Graves' disease, which is an autoimmune disorder where I had an overactive thyroid and they took my thyroid out. And so I had to go every year anyway because I have to have my blood checked to make sure my levels are correct so they can increase or decrease the level of thyroid medication that they give me. And so when I would go in there, that was when I would start to talk about, man, my, you know, I got a little hitch in my giddy up, the shoulder's starting to hurt, or this is hurting. And it was being able to have them look at that kind of stuff and figure, and then go, all right, you need to go see. Because I already had a GP, it's very easy to get a referral to an orthopedist. So first things first, go to the doctor, because, you know, for a lot of us, you know, just like what Brian was saying, he wasn't going to the doctor. What Walt, you were saying, you weren't going to the doctor. Having that, just go in, make sure everything's good, make sure there's, you know, stuff right, because I think that's the simplest thing. Second, listen to your wife. If she tells you to slow down, she probably slow down.
Yeah.
Or if she says eat carrots.
Yeah.
I'm with Levi as far as the doctor. That's one thing I wish I would have did a long time ago, is go to see the doctor. So luckily I have a good one now who's very thorough. The other thing is wear your PPE, especially respirators. 15 years of these chemicals. I have some scarring on my lungs. It's nothing that's affecting me right now, but breathing in the acids and the solvents and all that fun stuff and the compounds, you don't wear them because you think you're tough and it doesn't really smell that bad. So you just are like, screw it. But it starts to really get to you over time. Just looking at the SDS sheets, you'll see what it'll do to you.
Right.
And I never took it seriously, so now I do, and I wear a respirator when I'm working with a lot of the chemicals. But that would be a big suggestion of mine, and just be mindful of your health. You know, don't be eating pizzas and hot dogs every day or drinking tons of energy drinks every day, but just be more mindful.
I do.
Brian, what about you?
My advice? Man, I don't, like, I'm always intimidated to throw my advice out anymore.
How about your views that maybe people can follow?
My view would be find another hobby.
Yeah, but what if it's not a hobby? It's their job. I mean, it's their livelihood. It's their career.
That's exactly the problem. Yeah. You know, but like, we create that. You know, I know that everything that's happened is because of something that I created.
Yeah.
You know, and I wasn't planning long enough into the future. You know what I mean? I was basically thinking, yep, I'm going to detail cars till the day I'm dead. You know, last car I detail is going to be a Porsche. You know what I mean? I've said a ton of stupid stuff over the years. You know what I mean? But when I said it, I was actually being passionate about it. I was being genuine about it. But like I said, you know, like when your day's numbered, it's numbered. You know what I mean? So like if you don't plan for an abrupt stop, like I said, like my situation was an abrupt stop, which, dude, I cried for 6 months straight. You know what I mean? Like nobody saw that, you know what I mean? But like, I cried for 6 months straight because I couldn't detail a car, you know? You know, so like, it was like, but basically you can't plan on that. You know what I mean? Like, you can't say, okay, one day something's going to happen to me, because you just don't know, you know?
Right.
And my thing is that I built so much of my life, 110% of it was around auto detailing, that I didn't consider anything else. You know what I mean? I didn't consider, okay, if like this happens, I'll do this. Or if this happens, I'll do that. You know, my circumstances were very lucky with me being with Swissvax. Otherwise, I would be struggling like immensely. You know, Swissvax really stepped up to the plate and saved my ass in 2016. They basically said, hey, Brian, we heard about your circumstance. You know, do you want to help us? And I said, yeah, I can, because there's something I can do, you right. know. But was I ever planning on that? No. Did I ever plan on working for another? You know what I mean? Like in my thought process, I was like, I had my own company, I had my own business, I had my own agenda, you know what I mean? And I was moving in that direction, you know. But like I said, when the stuff doesn't, or when, you know, when if it doesn't work out, you know what I mean, you have to have another plan. And that's where, like I said, for myself, over this last, like my cancer treatment started in 2016. And I've been searching for myself for 5 years now. You know what I mean?
Right.
For 5 years, I've been trying to rediscover
right.
who, what I'm supposed to be, what I'm supposed to do. And like, I've just been lucky enough that I got really great friends, local by here and there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, and like, I can go throw down in a car with, you know, some local friends, or I can go work here or work there, but that's just not my agenda. You know what I mean? But it's like, so luckily I've skated by this far, put it that way. But right. at the end of the day, if I told you it was easy, no, it's been a complete mind death. You right. know, I've like, I'm trying to ride with myself.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that I guess, you know, for you and Levi, you know, you guys both had companies that kind of maybe, you know, like you just mentioned, kind of, and Levi mentioned, kind of swooped in to kind of somewhat save you or help you. But not everybody has that ability. I mean, it's not like everybody's, you know, applying at the rag company or applying for Swissvax or, you know, Rupes or Flex or wherever. So not everybody has that capability. And I think what, you know, thankfully my wife is very good with managing money and things like that, that she's setting us up for when I'm done. Like, I don't have to worry about trying to, okay, what am I going to do when I can't detail anymore? It'll be like, which beach am I going to hang out on? And I think that's one thing a lot of detailers don't set themselves up for, is the what if, you know, in your situation when you got cancer and you were down, you know, a whole year. Like most guys,
dude, if I had to be real, like if like, cause like I've known Levi for a number of years, for example. And if I looked at Levi and I said, hey dude, you're going to work at the rag company until you're 80 years old. Like, okay, that's what, 40 or 30, 39, 38 more years, dude. You're really yeah. going to be the rag. So like, it's equivalent to asking me, hey Brian, will you be working for Swissvax for 40 more years? The chances are, yeah. you know what I mean? Like life chances for any one of us, is these things are not forever, you know?
Oh, no, whether it's detailing business,
working for a company, like we're all dispensable, and we all have our time limit, you know yeah. what I mean? With certain things. So we have to be prepared for that.
Right. And that's the thing. I don't think a lot of people do prepare. I mean, some people can't handle, you know, not having work for a day, let alone yeah. you know, being in a situation like you were, where they're down for a whole year, you know, and I know you've mentioned it to me before, you know, when you and I have talked, you know, and especially in this industry and how quick changing it is, that year for you, you know, like blew past you. You came back to like, what, huh? What's going on? Like, you
know, that's just it, you know, like, you know, for anybody listening, we have to have the attitude of it. If we fall off the bike, we got to get back on it. You know,
right. I mean?
So that's that you have to achieve, you know? So if we fall, we have to get up, we got to keep going. But, you know, it's, you know, kind of what we learn along the way. You know, I'm a big believer in all the stuff that I don't like right now, as opposed to the stuff that I do like is kind of irrelevant. I'm more accustomed to telling myself of all the stuff that I don't like, you know? So right. And this kind of simplifies.
Right.
Well, I think the hardest thing is I try to think back what I would have done if I would have had my shop, and the focus would have been trying to manage my business and put the right people in to run the business, the day-to-day stuff, and do the work for me. There's always a crowd of younger kids that can do it, right, that you can bring in. It's the matter of investing in proper training, investing in proper techniques, investing in the right chemicals and setup. And, you know, I look at my team that I had, and I look at how easily, you know, it worked for my guys to transition into a shop. There's the problem is they're still working and they're not taking that advice, but they've changed what they're doing. They're not slinging polishers all day. They've hired a couple younger kids to run machines, and the two of them just work on coating cars and PPFing. And they're lucky, right, that they get to do that. They're right, busy in it, but they're using a different set of muscles for their body. They're using, right, a different action. So they're not, you know, they're probably sore from other stuff now, but they're not getting sore and damaged. They're, you know, they're indoors, thankfully. So, you know, right, my guy, when he gets back, he's still going to be inside. He's not outside. He's going to have to change a lot of his other lifestyle stuff that he wants to do, but he's got young kids too. And it's making sure that he's there for them and helping them. You know, but I was fortunate. I'll say that 1,000 times. I was fortunate for the rag company at the right time when they came along. Right. And my goal is finally looking into retirement and looking into what do I need to do? Because when I was 20, my dad harped on me about it. Oh, you got to do this. You got to do this. And I was like, yeah, okay, old man. Like, I'm not going to worry about that. But now, you know, my dad's an old man and he's retired, and I'm seeing the stuff he's getting to do now with his retirement. And I'm like, oh man, I wish I could have been, right, doing that. I wish I could have, you know, I look at it and go, no, that's what I want to do. That's what I, right, want to do now. And, yeah, and it's looking into that and going like, okay, how, you know, I'm probably always going to have to clean cars. I know that it's going to be a side gig, but how do I set, yeah, how do I teach maybe my children how to do some things? Right. Can I teach them how to fix leather properly, that maybe we can start a little leather company and they can take that on and I can kind of help manage it with them, and that can give us a little bit of income? How can I teach them how to detail? You know, I'm going to teach my boy and my daughter how to detail cars a little bit and keep a little side game going, or maybe wrapping cars, you know. How can I do as a dad, teach my children to hopefully help me in my old age, you know? Can I come up with something?
It's so true, man.
My goal is to work here till I, you know, I told Jeff and Carolyn, my goal is to head out of the rag company feet first at my desk when I die. I don't know if that's ever going to happen, but, you know, how do I go about it and just in case that doesn't?
Right.
You,
right,
know, what games do I have out, you know, have I put out beforehand to make sure that I'm okay and that my kids are okay? So.
Right.
It's always hard, you know, like in this business, we're always in a rush, you know, like we're always, you know, we always have to, like I said, you know, like I know where my attitude was to stay ahead of the curve. It was always in a rush, you know, like one of the things I've learned is that I don't have to be in a rush. You know what I mean? Like we have time if our health allows it.
Yeah.
But if our health allows it, we have enough time. So basically my thought is like after the first year of being down, I figured, you know, if I have, you know, 1 year down or 5 years down, what's the point? I mean, what's the real difference to get back to it for? You know what I mean? Because if I wait 5 years or 6 years or 10 years, I could always relaunch an auto detailing business. Right. You know what I mean? I can, you know what I mean? Like it's so basically, you know, I've like not like trying not to be in a rush, you know, like that's a hard thing to do, but it's like Levi said, you know, I'll be more inclined because I have kids right now. I'll be more inclined to like take my time in teaching them and trying to pass the knowledge to them so that, or to, you know what I mean? Whoever's willing to, so that they can take and carry that, you know what I mean? Like, I kind of know that, like, you know, it's basically like Levi kind of said too, like at some point we have to pass the torch, you know right. what I mean? And as parents, it's so much easier to say, you know, but I think once we understand that our lot in life is to pass the torch and not carry it, you know what I mean? Like if you would have told me that even when I had kids in my earlier years of having kids, I would have been like, oh, that's crazy talk, you know? Yeah. But as I'm an older parent now, like I understand that my point in life is, it's actually not for me anymore, you know? So it's, you know, trying to figure that out, as long with, you know, figuring out what it is that we are going to do with ourselves after this. Because I mean, dude, there's so many guys who I respect, like, you know, Jose Fernandez and Dave and Robert and so many names, you know what I mean, who have like years on me and are right. still at it hardcore every day in and day out. You know what I mean? And like, I know it hurts. You know what I mean? Like, I know it hurts. You know, and it's like, if you still have the physical capability to get it, then like my thought is to get it, you know? Yeah. You know, but if we are restricted in some type of physical manner, which, you know, is, I guess, what this episode is about, you know what I mean? Being somewhat tied. Mike Phillips, he's an awesome inspiration, you know. He'll tell you to get back on your horse and keep going, and I love him for that, you right. know. Like there's so many people in this industry that, you know what I mean, are gonna keep us going, you know. So like the industry itself is very motivating, but we have to take into consideration how we're gonna pass it always, because this is, you know, it's really not about me building a big business. You know what I mean? Right. It's not about me having a spotlight on me, you know? It's, but what we can, you know, pass along and, you know, to carry on all this silliness that we've learned, right. you know,
we can't do it forever. Clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, detailing is silly.
Yeah. 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 Well, that's all I've got, guys. I know it's, you know, it's kind of late for me and Brian and Walt. Well, I mean, not late, but it's eating in the family time. I know Levi's driving home, so he's going to be with his family. We're also running out of time again. So for everybody who listens to this and maybe has some further questions, or concerns or whatever, would maybe want to reach out to you guys, where are they going to find you guys? Facebook, Instagram, private messages, whatever. Where can we find you guys?
So I'm at That Detail Guy Walt for Facebook, Instagram, and Gmail. So okay. Nice and easy.
That Detail or Walt? That Detail,
that
Walt.
Detail Guy
that
Walt.
That Detail Walt. Right. Brian, how about you?
Hi. Myself, I'm at AO Wheels and Swiss Specs USA. You know, any of the social media platforms for those, I'll get back to you. If you call me and your name is not programmed in my phone, I apologize. You know, I might miss calls, but getting me on any one of the social media platforms, you know, I'm definitely more inclined to help with these types of situations than I am with your paint defects.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, and you can find me anywhere. No, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, just Rag Company Levi or Levi Gates on Facebook, and then anything at the Rag Company you can hit me up on. So
right.
Very simple, guys. But yeah, I'm like Brian. I'd much rather talk about physical problems than paint stuff. You know, I think back to those days when that was all how we got to know each other. But at the end of the day, we're all humans. We're all people. And we can polish cars all day long. But when you've got family issues, when you've got kid issues, when you've got, you know, problems. I've got a daughter with special needs and a son with type 1 diabetes. So I deal with autism and diabetes on a day in, day out business with my kids. And, you know, I look at the problems and issues that I have far outweigh, you know, anything that, you know, I mean, my kids' issues, I should say, far outweigh any of my issues.
Yeah. And if anybody
keep my arms moving and my legs moving so that I can help them in the long run.
Right. And if anybody wants, anybody wants help with pain issues, that's where the groups are for. And you guys are in the groups. Right. I've seen you guys comment a lot, but yeah, I think, I mean, if anybody's got any concerns, like I said, you know, Levi, before I've listened to your podcast, and there's a lot of things that you look at before buying with your brushes, handles, trigger sprayers, things like that, gloves, you know, anti-shock gloves and things like that. So if anybody wants to, I guess, hit you up about that, or hey, if they want to talk to you about microfiber and towels and stuff, I guess. Yeah.
That's right.
Well, guys, I appreciate it. Thank you for doing this. Hopefully somebody will learn something from this. I know I have. From talking to you guys, I mean, I know all you guys kind of personally and some of your issues, but, you know, talking to you in a situation like this, I think is kind of, you know, given me a little bit more insight. So again, thank you for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Alex.
Yes, sir.
And, yeah, thanks, Alex, for having us.
And I will talk to you guys soon. I appreciate it.
All right. I won't Photoshop you this week.
All right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. All right. You guys have a nice evening. Take care.
All right, guys.
Thank you.
Have fun.
Bye.
See ya.
Okay, everybody. So that's the wrap on season 2. I really hope you guys got something out of this episode on health and wellness. I've known these guys for a while now and some of their ailments. And it's made me really think about what I do in detailing. Levi had a great thing about stretching. That's something that I don't do, probably like many of us, and probably should do. So, you know, there's a lot to look to in this episode and learn from this episode. And I hope, even if just one of you out there get something out of this to further better yourself and your health and your wellness, then hey man, it's a win. One of the things I didn't think about and Brian kind of mentioned is depression. I know there's a lot of people in this industry that do suffer from depression, and when it hits them pretty hard. And that's something I wish I would have thought about. You know, maybe we could have talked a little bit more about that. But there's definitely always room for more episodes. We could talk about getting into some of the other problems that detailers face as far as, you know, with their health and their well-being, mind right, and things like that. So, again, this has been a lot of fun. I really appreciate doing this, and I appreciate all the feedback that I get from everybody who listens to the show and tell me that we're doing a good job. So follow us wherever you listen, subscribe, hit the little bell so you get the notifications when episodes drop. There is a feature on the Anchor page where you can
leave us a voice message, or you can leave us a text message, leave me. And, you know, give me some feedback. Let me know what you guys think. If you guys have an idea or a topic or something we can change, let me know. I'm always looking to make sure that I keep this fresh enough for you guys to listen to. That's where the What's On Your Mind episodes with Jason kind of comes in. I know some people have expressed that they like the little bit longer style or format versus kind of what I do with the interviewing, where we're kind of right around that 45 to 50 minute range. Let me know if those are going well for you guys. I mean, if an hour and a half to 2 hours is too long, I don't know. They kind of seem right at an hour and a half to 2 hours. So again, I want to thank you guys for listening and just being there, taking the time out of your days. This is a lot of fun for me. So take care. I'm going to get working on my list for season 3. I'm already kind of working up some names, got to talk to some people, make sure they want to do it. And then we will get working on that. I won't take so long in between this episode and the start of season 3 like I did with season 2, just because that couple of weeks kind of drove me nuts. So I do like doing this. It's fun. So you guys have a great day, evening, night, whatever time you're listening to this. And the motto going into 2021 is more shine and less shade. So let's try to, you know, do that. Let's try to boost each other up and not talk so much negativity towards everybody. Take care.